Hello and welcome to Outside In. I'm John Burns and I've got a fascinating guest today. I've invited him along because I always think that our adventures in the outdoors are like stories, and you create adventures, you create memories, and in doing so you create stories. And one of the characters in a way in the stories that we create is the equipment that we use, our jackets, our boots, our rucksacks, because we can all think about times when, you know, we've been let down by a leaking jacket, or we've had problems with your boots or your rucksack, and that's become a major issue. I can remember being in the Cairngorms stranded one day or one night and very grateful that I had a down jacket, and I always remember that night whenever I used that down jacket. So my guest today is Gons Ferraro of the Scandinavian equipment manufacturers, Klettermusen. And I brought him along today to talk about what he's doing in the UK and some of the exciting things that he and his company are doing for us at the moment. Yeah. Hello, Gons. How are you?
Hi, John. Very well, thank you. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, very welcome. And I apologize once again for my awful pronunciation. tell us a little bit about your company. I don't think it's an equipment manufacturer that many folk in the UK, at least, will be familiar with, although I think you've been about worldwide for quite a long time.
Yeah, no, it's. I think that's right. We haven't really sort of looked towards the UK until now. So I think the people in the UK that would recognize the brand are certainly ones that have been seeking it out. So sort of people who aren't really looking for brands in the main street, so to speak, or those who actually spend time in Scandinavia, which is sort of our home market, right, in Sweden and in Norway.
What would you say is special about your brand? I mean, it's very much, from what I've seen, what I would describe in a way as top-end equipment. It's designed for the professionals. It's designed for, it looks to me to be for coping with extreme situations. Is that fair or is that not?
Yeah, I think so. That's certainly our roots. I think, you know, if I wanted to say everything that is special about Klettermusen, we probably need more than the show. But we started the brand, you know, itself started in 1975. So, to put it into a bigger context, you know, what you had in the 70s is actually something that everyone knows. Probably that was happening in the US with Yvon Chouinard and Yosemite crew. In Scandinavia, it was also happening, and that was, you know, where you know brands like Fjällräven and Hackloves, you know, were sort of starting from that sort of same movement. People wanting to go out to nature, realizing there was no real equipment to do it with, and having to make their own. Right. In Scandinavia, we Klettermusen was, you know, part of that movement from very early on. We were basically set up from a group of climbers in a room with sewing machines, fabrics. Mm-hmm. And patterns, right? And so you could come in and rent the machine and rent a pattern, make your own gaiter or make your own backpack, and then go out, test it, come back, and sort of, it was very kind of community, you know, in a Swedish context, it was very social, you know, forward in that sense, right? So it was all about collaborations, and that was in the, you know, that was very early on. So because it was such a product centric, you know, mission, from the beginning, you know, the idea with Klettermusen was we need to make the equipment matter 100%, right? So if we can't do it better, if we can't do it in a different way than what's out there, then we shouldn't be doing it.
Was the equipment, what sort of conditions was the equipment originally designed for? I mean, what conditions were you facing in Scandinavia then?
Well, I mean, we talk about, it's funny because also the word climber, you know, has evolved, right? I mean, a climber in the 70s was really a mountaineer, what we would call a mountaineer today. And really in Scandinavia, it was, what I think was really special, and it still is very special, is that sort of coexistence with nature. So working mm-hmm. and living in nature all the time, and not sort of shying away. You know, if it's a really bad weather, that doesn't mean you don't go out, or it doesn't mean you don't explore. So it's very, you know, obviously, you know from, you know, we're faced with a lot of changing climates, right? So you go out on mm-hmm. on a day, you can have every kind of weather, and that's, you know, so it's actually a philosophy that became very clear for Klatimusen since the beginning, was maximum safety for you, minimum impact on nature.
Right. Okay.
That's been very much the ethos since the 70s. If you know, we really need to make equipment that is going to keep you safe no matter what the conditions are, right? So this maximum safety for you is super important. But of course, there's also a really important element of, you know, you are going into nature, so it should have a minimum impact on nature. It should be done with a ecological, you know, what we call now sustainability perspective.
Yes, I mean, obviously, sustainability, I think, wasn't something, I suppose, that equipment manufacturers thought about, you know, 30 or 40 years ago, but it's certainly an important thing now. So how have you developed the sustainability aspect of what you produce?
Well, so I mean, actually, not to correct you, but I think from our perspective and for many other brands, sustainability has been very much on top of mind even from the very beginning.
Right. Okay.
It's just the word wasn't used.
Okay.
We were product makers, so when it came time to make products, we've been since the very beginning looking at how can you make those products in the best possible way. So one side of sustainability is that doesn't usually get so much airtime is the fact that if you make the product last as long as possible, there it is sustainable, right? Durability is something that we've really hunkered on since the beginning, working with fabrics and developing fabrics, you know, using better sources of energy, you're using organic mm-hmm. materials instead of synthetics when it's really needed, you know, being able to offer or being able to create equipment that is, you know, using synthetics when you really need it, but using organics when you don't actually need the properties that synthetics give you. That's been very much there since the beginning.
All right, so it's always been an important aspect of it. And have there been what personally got you interested in the company? What inspired you about it? Was it your own experiences in the mountains?
You know, I'm actually I don't come from you know, a childhood of being in the mountains or a career of working in the outdoor industry. I approached this actually more as a customer. So I was really, really, you know, sort of thinking a little bit, you know, around the sort of the business side, but I was really intrigued by why it was so difficult for me to understand the equipment when I walked into an outdoor store. You know, you've probably had this experience, right? When you walk into an outdoor store and you can't really tell the difference between this shell jacket and that shell jacket, or this down weight, and is it, you just want to know, is it going to keep me warm? Is it going to do the job, you know, based on where I want to use it, right? So it takes a lot of effort, you know, and geeks like probably you and I to really understand, okay, this is exactly what I need for this adventure.
Right.
So I was sort of intrigued by that on let's say on a sort of on my sort of business side. Okay, what does it feel like these outdoor brands are making such technologically advanced products? But then doing such a poor job explaining them to the that's really challenging. It's almost I use sometimes the analogy, you know, it's like we are making new iPhones twice a year, but then we're selling them like H&M t-shirts. It's a little bit of that I thought would be interesting to figure out.
And so do you think your range, how has it changed over the years?
Well, we always focus, we want to be a specialist brand, right? We have been for 45 years, and we want to be a specialist for the next 45 years. So we have a philosophy around redeveloping the products that we already have, right? The equipment that we already have. Just always seeing, instead of looking at the collection and saying, what do we want to have next year in this collection? We look at the collection and say, what can we evolve from here?
Okay.
And that's kind of, you know, and it starts with the fabrics. When you have that point of view, it always starts with the fabric. Okay, if you have a three-layer jacket, it's made from recycled, you know, polyester. Can you make this from bio sources instead of recycled, right? What is the next stage of that from a sustainability perspective that still gives you that functionality you need?
Right.
And that's where that's kind of, you know, I think that's a really important, you know, aspect, because if you start from there, then it's much easier to say, okay, we have a three-layer shell jacket, you know, perhaps for that works very well from a Nordic terrain perspective. But if we move more into a vertical alpine terrain, mm-hmm. maybe we're talking about a two-layer, or we should be, you know, how do we slim down some details? How do we make it be more fitted for that activity? So we've gone through that process now. We outfit very well, you know, professionals in the Nordics and in Scandinavia, like, you know, Svalbard Research Institute and the Greenland Army. And we also do very well in sort of what we say, that what we call the Nordic mountaineer, which is, you know, someone who's, you know, going out in multi-day, you know, 10 days, 15 days with big backpacks, tents, and just going out, and we say walking to the mountain, around the mountain, and back from the mountain.
Right.
And in the last few years, we've been really trying to distill what we do really well for those customers, and then finding out, okay, if we wanted to go more into the Alps, into a more vertical, things that is more hut-to-hut, activities that are, you know, more, you know, that you need more versatility, more lightweightness, how can we bring that together? And that's where we are.
Right. I mean, it always strikes me that the designing any piece of equipment is kind of finding the right compromise between things like weight and, as you say, durability and how I suppose literally tough and what a piece of equipment is. Is that something that you've experienced? Is that the way you look at things, or am I wrong there, do you think?
Well, it's super tricky. I think we call our design team product developers. I think that's important, because we always want to be true to the fact that we are really a product development centric company, right? That kind of immediately puts our bar really high when it comes to, you know, what do you want to compromise on. Functionality is something that we can't, because again, we're sort of driven by this maximum safety for you.
Yeah.
Minimum impact on nature. Sustainability is therefore also something we don't want to sacrifice on. And then the design is almost something that we don't, you know, the designing, you know, our aesthetic as a brand is pretty much set, right? There's not a lot of, you know, design for the sake of design. It's actually for us just something that follows the functionality. If you need to have a reinforcement, or if you need to have a reflector for safety, that's based on the functionality, not just because it looks cool.
Uh-huh. Okay. I just wondered, you're obviously developing your presence, your profile in the UK. What do you think you'll be able to bring to the UK market? Who do you think will be most interested in the equipment that you're providing?
It's a great question. I mean, I think there is a much bigger audience now for brands that are authentic in a different way. I guess we're all authentic, and I'm certainly not suggesting one brand is more authentic than others, but we have a benefit compared to, you know, brands that are, you know, in much wider distribution or mm-hmm. much well known, in that we can afford to be more stubborn on what we do. if that makes sense, right?
So yeah. It sounds as though you're because you are providing what looks like to me sort of top end equipment for people in extreme situations, then that you're very much focused on producing a very high quality product. Is that reasonable?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely, you know, we really look at products as equipment and not as apparel, right? And that's
right, right. Yes, I understand the difference.
Yeah, that's a huge difference. And we certainly, because we work, you know, we try really hard not to take compromises when it comes to the fabrics, the functionality. And it is, you know, our prices are premium. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if you have this old saying that it's I'm too poor to buy cheap things.
Very cheap. Yeah. Yeah.
Especially with equipment, you know, I think what we want to bring to the UK is equipment that is, premium, but very much, you know, value for money, not just in itself, but also in terms of the service, being part of our brand, our community, what we're trying to build with Kleptomusen and our customers, our community worldwide.
Yes, I mean, I always think my philosophy in buying equipment has always been, even when I was poor, to buy the best equipment I could. But actually, I think if you look at an item like a jacket that is maybe, you know, I suppose I always spend a lot of time, if I'm going to buy a new jacket, looking at different jackets, trying to weigh up which is the best one. But I always feel also that mountain equipment might seem expensive, but actually if you take what you spend on a jacket and you're still using that jacket 10 years later, actually the expenditure is pretty small, really. Do you think that's true?
Absolutely. I think we do, as an industry, now talking about other outdoor brands or all outdoor brands, we've historically done a very poor job of explaining that purchase, right? So if we're coming up with new colors every season and new, you know, then it's very hard for the end customer to understand, you know, this is something that's really going to last.
Yeah.
So this is why I made the distinction between equipment and apparel. You know, you don't get a new car every season. I think we need to do better, and that's really why we're coming to the UK. I think being a specialist brand, we have the opportunity to say to someone, hey, I know you're in a rush and you just want a down jacket, but let me seduce you a little bit by telling you exactly what you're buying here. It's not the same down jacket as the other one in the shop. So there is a real story and a real purpose to, you know, and point of difference between every one of our products. If you look at it and you don't understand the price, it means you don't understand what we've done with the product.
That's amazing. And what do you see? If you could look at the kind of equipment that you're manufacturing now and look forward to say 10 years, as you know, different fabrics are coming on board, different, and there'll be different demands, I suppose, from the public. Where do you see the equipment you manufacture and the market in general being? Where do you see that going in the next 10 years, say? Sorry to put you on the spot. You
know? No, it's a good question for sure. I mean, we have definitely, we have a 10-15 year vision of where we're taking, you know, our collection. We recognize, I think, within the industry for being sort of, guinea pigs, so to speak, when it comes to new fabrics, new innovations, especially in the area of sustainability.
Right.
And we like to see ourselves be more of the early adopter for technologies and fabrics that other brands will adopt. And that's something we do today. So we work with a fabric developer to collaborate and sort of co-design a fabric, and then we will launch a product, and then we will invite other brands to use the same fabric to sort of make it more widely available. I think that collaboration would be beneficial for the whole industry in general. So I, you know, in terms of advancing more on the sustainability side.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in general, if we can get, you know, one of the biggest things the industry is faced with, you know, we moved so much towards synthetics because, you know, you could get functionality out of synthetics that you couldn't from organics, right?
Yes.
So when you talk about synthetics materials, then you have recyclable was the first, you know, first phase. Then you had recycled mm-hmm. as the second phase. One of the phases that, you know, the next phase we started about 4 years ago in Klettermuseum was bio-based synthetics.
Right.
So instead of using fossil fuels, using, you know, biomass and biofuels to create the yarns. One of the things we started now this year, which we are super excited about, is getting organics with the functionality and the properties of synthetics, right? And basically being able to provide, have a 100% organic cotton, but have, you know, a ripstop and the durability, the lightness, and the, yeah, the properties that you would get from a soft shell, which is amazing.
So really going, so you see things essentially, the natural fibers and natural textiles coming back in a way. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it comes with a realization that, you know, you don't need 100% waterproof jackets all the time. I think, mm-hmm. well, you're in Scotland, so you probably do need it.
possibly, yes.
But you know, but depending on your activity, you know, you don't need a you know, the same waterproofness in a ski jacket than in a hiking jacket. You don't need a backpack, for example. We have a philosophy around backpacks that where we try to make them as versatile as possible, because you know, you don't need a ski backpack and a hiking backpack. You know,
uh-huh.
Of course, if you're a specialist, you do. But in a typical sense, you want to get the most out of your equipment, and that's where being able to work with fabrics that cross over between activities or between climates or between you know, between usages is really, really important.
Right. I mean, you sort of alluded to our Scottish climate, which the British, as I'm sure you're aware, are famous for talking about the weather all the time. And well, we talk about the weather because we have lots of it, you know, it changes so rapidly. But I think that, and I guess in terms of our hills here, climate change is also changing things. I mean, we're getting... We do, like you say, you know, you can have all seasons in one day, and you certainly can have the weather that we have in Britain is very, very changeable. It's not so cold very often. You know, -5 is you know, fairly cold for us, but it can change very rapidly. So you need to, I suppose, you need to have equipment that is pretty versatile. Is that the sort of thing that you would be working towards as well?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. I mean, you know, we have a way of looking at our collection in sort of in a pyramid shape, if you could visualize that.
Oh, right. Yeah.
A lot of the gear that we are, you know, using to really develop new solutions, new fabrics, is at the very top of that pyramid, and that's, you know, that's really what those, you know, it's almost like workwear. It's what our professionals are really using. As you move farther down the pyramid, and this is sort of at the bottom of the pyramid, is where we start getting into your Scottish, you know, use cases, so to speak. that's where you want to get the same element of safety, but you want to get it in a way that, you know, you can't have a jacket for every different weather condition or for a different expedition you want to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
You need to really value that versatility, not just from a cost perspective, but also just from a, you know, why would you design something so specialized that is only going to cover, you know, one out of 365 days of the year?
Yeah, I see that. Yeah, So in terms of creating awareness of your products in the UK and I guess getting them out into to folk, what are your plans at the moment?
So what we want to do is actually have a chat with you, have a chat with people who are really kind of opinion leaders who are really using the gear, looking for something that is sort of different or unique or sort of special, and just be able to sort of do the equivalent of sitting down, having a coffee and telling them our story, right? And our sort of our reason for being. The product itself, I think the best way to sell a clethodim product, it would be to tell you, hey, come over, we're going to go for a hike together, and you're going to really, really feel the difference between what you're used to using and clethodim, right? It's those. We're really, we really want to make sure, as I said before, we're really talking about a very long-term plan, right? We're not trying to be, have a huge market share in the UK in tomorrow. So we want to do this really from the bottom up. We want to really plant the seeds with the right people, with early adopters, the guys who really understand, who are going to really also say, you know what, this equipment really delivers.
Right.
And then I think from there the ball will roll, because it's we know very well the equipment is top. We know that from Sweden, from Norway, from Germany, from Korea, from Japan.
I think you're right. I suppose that this the outdoor folk are very much a community, and I think the best recommendation, the best advertising, I think, is personal recommendation. You'll see somebody using a jacket, or you'll ask them what they've done, and that's more or less actually the way I've chosen most of my outdoor equipment. Listen to other people and got their opinions.
Yeah, I would love to invite anyone. I know you have been listening to your shows, John, so I would love to invite any of our listeners to get in touch with us, because really, as I said, we're really looking for those early adopters, sort of opinion leaders. We really want to tell our story and find the right way to strike the right chords in the UK. And we are, we're a very personal brand, let's say. We're sort of a small company. We're based in the north of Sweden. We do things in our own way, because we feel very strongly about them and because we're very passionate. And I think that generally that's something that especially outdoor folks can really relate to. So
that's great. Yeah, it's fantastic. It's really fascinating talking to you and hearing about the development of your equipment and the way that it evolves. I've been out in the hills for a very long time and I can remember how awful most of the equipment I used when I started out into the hills, how dreadful it was, and the difference between modern equipment is incredible. And it's really nice to see it moving towards a sustainable future, because I think that's really important too, and how you're balancing quality and sustainability. It's been fascinating talking to you, and I really look forward to seeing more about clethodim in the UK, and to you being a source of quality equipment. Thanks very much for talking to me.
Absolute pleasure, John. Thank you, and stay safe.
I will. I'll try. Thank you. Same to you. Thanks then. Bye bye.